Praise the Lord tonight.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. God is a good God. Faithful God. Amen. Before we left the house this evening, Sister Penelope and I prayed for strength.
Yes.
Holy Spirit knew we were going to need some strength tonight.
Amen.
Praise God. And God provided the strength. Amen. Yes. So we're thankful. And we had another great time, amen, and just interacting with the people, amen.
Amen.
And allowing God to bless them. Isn't that something? Allowing God to bless them. You know, sometimes we can get in the way of God blessing.
Yes. Yes.
You know? And so praise God for a spirit of allowing, right? Just saying, Lord, just do it. Have your way. Right? That's how that song says, right? If you can use anyone, you can use me. Amen.
Yes.
So praise God for the blessing of being used. You know, see, when God uses you, you're blessed.
Amen.
When people use you, not so much. Amen.
Amen.
But I'll freely let God use me. Amen.
Amen.
And I know you would do the same. We're in Mark chapter 11 tonight, and so we're going to start tonight with the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And we'll go as far as we can until we close the book. Amen?
Amen.
And so we'll start there. Mark chapter 11, verse number 1, the triumphal entry. Let's pray first, and then we'll just get right into the scripture text tonight and see where the Lord takes us.
Amen.
Okay? Let's pray. Father, we give you praise and thanks for this day, God. You've shown your faithfulness and your love unto us, O God. And
yes.
Father, for that we're grateful. And we lift you up and we give you praise for it in the name of Jesus. And now, God, we're here and we're desiring to be fed the bread of life.
Yes.
And so, God, we ask you, O God, to teach us your word tonight.
Yes.
Open up our eyes that we may see. Bless our hearts that we may receive what you have for us, O God, that our spirit will be nourished and strengthened and our faith will be increased.
Yes.
And God, right now we yield and submit to you in this place. And we just thank you, God, for what you are about to do.
Yes.
We give you the praise right now with all gratitude and sincerity. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, so let's look at Mark chapter 11 as we are closing in. Amen. Jesus, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Let's just read a little bit. We're going to go as the Lord leads us. Let's look at verse 1. It says, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you. Amen. And as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, we look at this, and one of the things that has to just jump out at us, right, is Jesus tells them to go into the next town, right? And he says, as soon as you get there, you're going to find a colt tied.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, a man has never sat on that colt. And then he said, loose him and bring him here. And then he says, if any man says, what are you doing? Tell them that the Lord has need of him. And everything happened just as Jesus said.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? And so, you know, this really shows the power of Jesus, right? This shows that, you know, that he is who he said he is, amen, that he is God, he is the Son of God. Because how many people you know can do that? can tell you to go somewhere, tell you what you're going to find there, tell you what people are going to say when you get there. Mm-hmm. And everything happens exactly the way he says it. That would seem to me, if this is Jesus, then if we know he says something, man, we should be filled with so much confidence and certainty.
Oh, Jesus, yes.
Mm-hmm. If we know he said it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know where this is going. There are plenty of things that we know Jesus said, and yet we have questions. We're amazing. Here is a Jesus who can say, this is what's going to happen before it happens. This is what people are going to say to you and do before it happens. And, you know, and then he says things to us, and we think he has to somehow prove himself, or somehow he's not worthy to be believed. We are amazing.
Oh my.
Lord, help us and forgive us. Amen.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be nice, really, and better than nice, wouldn't it be powerful if we could just simply walk in with an assurance, with a rest, with a confidence that if he said it, then that's it. It's settled. It's going to happen. Why is it that we have any problems with that, you think? Why? I mean, God is not a man that he should lie. It's impossible for God to lie. So he says the thing, and what is it that keeps us from just simply saying, like Mary, when she was, you know, visited by the angel Gabriel, be it unto me according to thy word. I'm telling you, that is at the same time a declaration of submission and a declaration of power. Because when we submit to God, the power of God is going to be released in us.
Wow.
It's when we try to buck up against God and be strong that his power is not there, right? Because
yes.
God said, right, that his strength is made perfect in what? In weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, it's not our desire, nor should it be our desire or our goal to be strong in ourselves,
mm-hmm.
right? The Bible says we should be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So, but God's strength is going to show up in weakness.
Amen.
But the problem is we live in a world that you know, weakness is viewed as a negative,
mm-hmm.
you know? And no one is saying you should walk around like being bruised by everything that comes along. This is about, you know, if we're going to be able to do the will of God cannot be done without the power of God.
Right.
And the power of God is going to be released in our life when we decrease so that he might increase.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be less of us and more of him, right? And then he can take us to places that we couldn't get to on our own.
Yes.
But this shows, right, that Jesus can look into our future.
Yes.
In fact, he already has. Mm-hmm. Right? He knows the end from the beginning. He knows where we're headed. And here's the good thing, too. Right? So when we run into that problem, that situation, that circumstance, it didn't surprise Jesus. It didn't surprise the Father.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't surprise the Holy Spirit. They knew what was going to happen in our life. Those things that happened in our life, God knew.
Right.
Didn't take him by surprise. He wasn't asleep at the wheel. The devil didn't sneak in the back door. You know what I mean? And God didn't say, oh man, how you get in here? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the thing is that if anything, this should lead us to say, you know what? I got to get closer to this God.
Yes.
I got to get closer to this Jesus. I got to get closer. to someone who can tell me. Remember the woman at the well? She said, man, I met a man who told me everything about myself.
Yes.
Right? Because she was like, he said, where's your husband? I said, I'm not married. He said, yeah, good. She said, good thing you told me that you're not married, because you're not married, and the man you're with is not even your husband, right? Right? Jesus knows.
Yes.
Jesus knows. But man, we need to get closer to this Jesus who knows us, right?
Mm-hmm.
He knows us. He knows us inside and out, right? And not only does he know us, but he wants the best for us. And so if we get closer to him and walk with him more closely, that we can hear his voice more clearly, then we will be in a position to benefit so greatly, because he'll be able to tell us about things that are going to happen before they even happen. Right? The Holy Spirit, right? Isn't that part of his ministry? That he will tell you of things to come. Right? God will share some things with you. You say, no, that's ridiculous. No, it's not ridiculous. Look how God treated Abraham. Remember when the three men visited Abraham? And then they were on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah?
Right.
And one of them was the pre-incarnate Christ. And he looked to the other two companions that he had with him and said, should we keep from Abraham what we're about to do?
Yes.
See, and what did they do? They then told Abram, we're about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes.
And then Abram got into a negotiation with them. Well, what if there's 50? What if there's 45? What if there's 40, 30? Got all the way down to 10.
Was fair.
Yeah. That's right.
Less than 10, no.
Right. So that's exactly right. But the conversation started with the pre-incarnate Christ saying, should we keep from Abraham what we're about to do? God wants to share with us what he's about to do. And we can see from here that Jesus is a God who knows what's going to happen before it happens.
Yes.
And I'm just saying that our desire then should be, I got to get closer to this Jesus. You know, I'm going to turn off the TV a little bit. I'm going to turn off my computer. I'm going to turn off my smartphone. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to put on my grill today. You know. So Brother Light putting on the grill, Brother Light. Maybe I got to turn the grill off. Forget the grill, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, sometimes, you know what I mean? Because how many of us sometimes get into a fix or in a situation where, you know, we need to have a word of encouragement and assurance that can come to us that everything's going to be all right.
Yes, yes.
And we serve a God who can do that. So Jesus told them what was going to happen, told them what they were going to find. They went there, they found exactly the way he said, and the men were there, and the men said to him, what are you doing? They told him, look, the Lord has need of it. And just as Jesus said, they let him go. Right?
Yeah.
And so they come back in verse 7. They bring the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him and sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And, you know, this account, the triumphal entry, all four gospel writers touch upon this and write and have an account of this. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's John's gospel where he says that it was palm branches. Amen. And so that's why we have, what, Palm Sunday,
mm-hmm.
the Sunday before Resurrection Sunday. Because this is the week before Jesus was crucified. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so they cut down the branches off the trees and they strawed them, or, you know, in the way, they laid them out in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, or save now, or save, we pray. Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And so Jesus comes in, and he's riding on his donkey. And, you know, Matthew says that all this was done that it might be fulfilled,
mm-hmm.
which was said of the prophets. Because this Hosanna in the highest, and blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, is really from Psalm 118. Right, but more importantly, him coming in on a donkey is from Zechariah 9:9.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a little bit about Isaiah 62 and 11 in here as well. And so Matthew said that all this was happened that it might be fulfilled, which was said by the prophets. But, you know, I was reading that this morning, amen, Matthew saying, all this was done that it might be fulfilled. And I was just stopped right there. Because that's a powerful thing right there. Because, again, it comes back to a God who can speak things a moment before it happens, you know, an hour before it happens, a month before it happens, a year before it happens, a century before it happens. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Thousands of years before it happens. And yet it's going to happen. Because God doesn't waste time just saying stuff. If God said something, it's going to happen, even if it is a long time between him saying it and it actually coming to pass.
Yes.
So isn't that an encouragement? If God has told you something that hasn't happened
yet,
know what that means? It's coming.
It's coming. Amen.
So instead of giving up on what God has said to you because it hasn't happened yet, maybe we should get excited because it's coming.
Yes.
So what has God said to you that you don't have yet? What has God said to you that hasn't arrived in your life yet? Whatever it is, you can be encouraged and say, listen, if God said it, it's going to happen. So that means it's coming. So it's a funny thing that what happened when God speaks, because most people get disappointed. God said something and I don't have it. Why? I'm disappointed. I'm confused. I'm despondent. But maybe we should be encouraged and excited and expected, because if we understand the character of a God who can speak before it happens, and he's a God that doesn't lie, and like Matthew said, that all things happen that it might be fulfilled, then we can say, if he said it, he's going to fulfill it. And so if I don't have it yet, that has to mean it's on the way.
Amen. Yes.
Glory to God. It's on the way.
Yes.
That thing God promised you is on the way. If it's not there yet, that means it's coming. Glory to God. So to me, we can turn the I don't have it into a positive expectation that leaves us excited, because we say, it's coming.
Amen.
It's on the way. Amen. It's on the way. And the people are going, Jesus at this point, what's the triumphal entry about? That Jesus is officially offering himself to the nation of Israel as the long-awaited Messiah. Because the scriptures had said this is how Messiah was going to come. They were going to come riding on a donkey, right? And a colt, right? A foal of a donkey, right? He was going to come riding on a donkey. And that's how here he comes. So he's offering himself unto the nation of Israel in fulfillment of scripture. He's offering himself as the long-awaited Messiah.
Yes.
And now some people are excited, but some people aren't. And some people aren't because they believe that the long-awaited Messiah was going to come and be a political and military ruler. Mm-hmm. Riding on a donkey meant you were coming in peace.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so if you're under oppression, and you're under the dominance of, at this time, the Roman Empire. You're looking for Messiah to come and tear up some stuff. You know what I mean? You ever want God to just come in and tear up some stuff?
Yeah.
Like there's some stuff going on in your life, some people who are all on your nerves, and you just praying that God come in and tear up some stuff?
Yeah.
You don't want God coming meek and mild. You want God coming in and just wrecking the joint, tearing up stuff, making people run for their lives. You got a little bit of that Sons of Thunder in you, right? James and John, when they say, do you want us to pray down fire? Jesus said, you don't know what manner of spirit you are. But there are times, amen, and maybe it's more our flesh than anything else, where we just want God to come and wreck the place. People messing with me, we want God to come in and start slapping people around.
Oh, Jesus.
Not going to happen, amen. Jesus entered in not with this. He wasn't a military ruler. He was not a political ruler. He came in. He was a spiritual ruler.
Yeah.
Came in, and the kingdom of God was coming in, and he was riding on a donkey. Not a horse, a donkey. And so there's some people going, this is... Don't be talking about no Hosanna and talking about these... referring to scriptures that talk about Messiah coming. That's not Messiah. Because Jesus was not coming as expected. You know, and I thought to myself, how many times has God come into my life either on his own or in response and in answer to a prayer? But he came in a way that I was not expecting. And then I thought, what happens if God comes in a way that I don't expect? And the only thing I could conclude is, I'll miss it.
Yes. Wow.
Or I'll misunderstand him.
Wow.
Because I thought to myself, what if someone that I never met before said, I'm going to meet you at the train station. And I expect them to be wearing a blue pinstripe suit. For whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Right? Maybe it came up in conversation before or whatever. I don't know. But let's just say I'm expecting him to show up in a blue pinstripe suit. But he decides to come in a neon green suit. And he says he's coming at 3 o'clock. And so I get there early, and then the clock strikes 3, and here comes this man in this green neon suit. Mm-hmm. He's looking right at me. As he walks, he doesn't take his eyes off of me. But I'm expecting him to come in a blue pinstripe suit. But this man keeps walking toward me. There's other people in the station, so I'm looking at him, but I keep looking around for the blue pinstripe suit. And then he keeps coming, and I feel his eyes are on me, and because I'm from New York,
Oh, Lord. You
know what happens?
You smack him?
No, I see him looking, and I say to myself, what are you looking at? I'm just from New York, right? Don't look at me too long. You can't fix your eyes on me too long. People from New York know what I'm talking about. You cannot look at a person from New York too long.
No, that's right.
You better avert your gaze because something's about to come on. Don't stare at me like I'm a television set. Don't. But he's looking at me and he's coming and he's coming at the appointed time. But there's one problem for me. He's not coming the way I expect.
The way you expect. Wow.
And here he is coming. He's looking right at me. But I get so frustrated, I'm not paying him any mind. And I keep looking for the blue pinstripe suit. And then he walks right on past. And I miss him.
Yep.
And I thought to myself, that's what happens to me if I expect God to come into my life or to move in my life a certain way that I determine, and he comes another way.
Oh my.
And I wondered to myself, how many times has that happened?
Wow.
How many times has God actually answered my prayer, but not in the way I expected it?
Wow.
How many times did God move in my life and I didn't recognize it as God? And I just said, and as I was thinking about this, I just immediately prayed out to God. I said, God, give me the gift of recognition.
Amen.
Glory to God. Give me the gift of recognition. Allow me to recognize each and every time you move in my life, whether it's great or small,
Amen.
Because I don't want to miss one thing that you're doing in my life. Lord, give me the gift of recognition.
Jesus.
Because I think sometimes we make up in our mind how God's going to do things. And sometimes it comes because we don't understand entirely what he says. I remember Brother Lester told me a story once about how you bought your van. And you just knew God was saying this. And you expected everything, and then you found out later on that wasn't exactly what he told you. Now sometimes we can misread. Sometimes we can get a piece and understand only in part.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, if we're honest, we try to predetermine what we need, how we need it, when we need it, and then think God is supposed to just fill in our blanks. Is if, you know, it's sort of like when you're a kid, when, you know, you have the figure and you can color by numbers. Number 8 is yellow and number 4 is green and number 1 is blue. Anyway. And so sometimes we act like we're going to draw the figure, put the numbers in it, have the code on the side and say, God, that's what I need. As if he's supposed to just color by numbers.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
God is not somebody who needs to color by numbers. Amen. God created the numbers. He doesn't need us trying to tell him how to answer our prayer.
Wow.
When to answer our prayer. So I just want to recognize when God moves in my life. Otherwise I'm going to miss it. And if we miss God enough, our faith will become damaged and weakened. Because we're going to be convinced he didn't come.
Wow.
We're going to be convinced he let us down. We're going to be convinced he didn't keep his word. We're going to be convinced that our prayers weren't heard and that God's not answering our prayer. And we can start shrugging our shoulders and say, what's the use? Because now we missed him so many times that we just expect that he's not going to do anything.
Wow.
But oh, if we had the gift of recognition and we could recognize every time God moved in our life, we would become spiritual giants because we'll see God everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God's a faithful God. Amen. He's a faithful God. People are going crazy. Hosanna in the highest. They're yelling and screaming and everything else. It's a party going on in the city. Mm-hmm. And the Pharisees, Luke's account tells us that the Pharisees, the religious leaders, said to him, tell these people to be quiet. You hear them, rebuke them. Because they were yelling, Hosanna, please save now, and calling him Messiah. And then you need to rebuke them. Blasphemy. You need to rebuke them. And Jesus said something to them that was so powerful. He said, if these will be quiet,
amen.
The stones, right, will cry out.
Amen.
Glory to God. You know what he's saying? Listen, I love that, right? Oh, you can tell the people that if these will be quiet, the stones will cry out.
Amen.
And give me glory. Let me tell you something. God's going to get his glory.
Yes, he is.
God's going to get his glory. They can try to tell you keep quiet all you want. God's going to get his glory. He said you can tell all the people to shut up. The stones will cry out and give me some glory. The trees will clap their hands. The birds will keep singing. God's going to get some glory. You remember last week when blind Bartimaeus was there? They were trying to tell him, keep it down, keep it down.
Yes.
And what he do? He yelled louder. Well, that God's going to get his glory.
Amen.
That's why people try to tell you don't talk all that God stuff or don't praise that much or don't praise that loud or it doesn't take all that. Let him know. Listen, I'm going to give God his glory. Because if I don't get it, he's going to get it somewhere from somebody or from something. Because God's going to get his glory.
Amen.
And wouldn't you rather God get his glory from you?
Amen.
I'm not saying it's only going to come from you. But the glory that should be coming unto God from you, shouldn't you want it to happen?
Amen.
Amen? That God's going to get glory out of my life. I'm going to lift up my hands in the sanctuary and praise God. I'm going to thank God when I pull up in my driveway and I got home safely. He says, you know, oh, I'm home. No, thank God I'm home. Give God some glory, amen. When food is put on your table, don't just start chowing down like you never ate before in your life. Stop and say, Lord, I thank you that you gave me this food today,
amen.
I thank you that I have a table to sit upon to eat this food. I thank you that somebody made this food for me. I mean, there's so many things. Listen, if you really wanted to, your food would get cold. You're going to have to put it in the microwave because you got so many things to thank God. And all it is a piece. It's just some beans and some French. But if, but it came from God. God, listen, you and I cannot give God too much glory. Oh, but we can certainly give him too little, but we cannot give him too much.
Amen.
And I tell you this right now, there's a lot of things people have overdosed on in this world, amen, but they never overdosed on the word of God, and they never have overdosed on praise to be given unto God, amen. So you can just praise God all the time. It's never too much.
Yes.
You know, never too much. You know what I heard in my head? Luther Vandross. Never too much, never too much, never too much. But you don't know that song because you're a church folk. But that's what I heard in my head right there. I heard never too much. Amen. You can never praise God too much. Praise the Lord. Alright, let's just move, amen. 7:35. Ooh. So where we go to now? The cleansing of the temple?
The victory.
The victory?
Is given.
Oh. I'm in Mark chapter 11.
Yes. Yeah, verse 12.
Verse number 12.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, and yes, verse number 12. Don't jump ahead, young man. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he, Jesus, was hungry. Jesus, 100% man and 100% God. How many of you know that? See, we see something, right? Right before we see Jesus, God, in action, saying, go to the city, this is what you're going to find, this is what the men are going to say, tell the men this, and this is what they're going to do. That's God in action.
Right.
Now we come, right? And now we see Jesus as 100% man. Jesus was hungry. Glory to God. Don't you love that you have a God who can relate to where you are? You ever been hungry? Well, Jesus has been hungry too. Glory to God. He wanted something to eat. He was hungry.
Amen.
And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. Amen. He came. He was expecting to find some fruit. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Mm-hmm. And Jesus answered and said unto it, I love this, no man eateth thee hereafter forever. Jesus was mad. He said, what? Oh no, you didn't. You ain't made me walk all the way over here and you ain't got no figs on you. What? You don't have any figs? No man eat food of thee hereafter forever.
Amen.
I mean, you talk about emphatic.
Yeah.
Hereafter forever. He could have just stopped hereafter.
Yes.
But he was like, listen, you are done.
And I like the part about when they said the disciple was listening.
That's right.
They were shocked too. They were like, what's wrong with him?
Yeah, they heard it. It's an interesting thing. But there's a lot of interesting stuff going on in these, what, two or three verses. First of all, we found out he was hungry. Second, though, he's going over to the fig tree to see if there's fruit. But yet the scripture plainly says he didn't find anything on it. But then it says something interesting. For the time of figs was not yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it sort of leads us to ask a question. Well, if it wasn't the time or the season for figs, why did he expect figs to be on the tree? Now, there's all kinds of explanations, right? I mean, there are some scholars that will tell you that fig trees have multiple, I'm going to say crops, right? It doesn't just produce fruit one time a year. So that's one thing. And sometimes, you know, trees have been known to produce early in the season, or maybe to have fruit on their season late, on a tree late. Others have said that, you know, that the bud of what would become the fig will be on the tree first, then the leaves, then the fruit. And they said, well, maybe he was going to go over there and eat the buds because he was hungry. Okay. And then there's other people who say, no, the fruit comes first, then the leaves. And so if leaves are on the tree, he had an expectation that there would be fruit on the tree. Listen, I don't know which one of those is right, and quite frankly, I really don't care. What I do know is this, Jesus is not crazy, okay? And so if he went over to that tree, he had an expectation. There was something about that tree, the way it looks from a distance, that said to him, some fruit should be on it. Because otherwise, he wouldn't have gone on. That's good enough for me. I don't need to get into the agriculture. I don't need to know about fig trees. Sometimes we can get lost in the sauce and lost in the weeds. And sometimes it's just simple. Jesus had a reason to think there should be some fruit on that tree.
Yes.
And here's the other thing I know. You know why Jesus... This is going to sound crazy. You know why Jesus believed there should have been some fruit on that tree? This is what I believe.
He was hungry,
no doubt about it. But this is why I believe that he believed that there should be some fruit on the tree. You know why? Because the tree told him. Yes, it is. The tree told him. The tree told him, I got some fruit. Come on over here and get some. Come get some. The tree told him.
Wow.
You say, that's crazy. That's crazy. But see, I know. Maybe. Okay. But here's the thing. Then somebody got to answer for me why we get to verse 14 and it says, and Jesus answered the tree. How you answer somebody that don't say something first? Look at it, verse 14. And Jesus answered and said unto it.
Yeah.
Jesus answered the tree. Well, what do you mean he answered the tree? Because the tree must have said something. And I believe the tree was over there swaying in the breeze, going, come over here, I got some fruit on me, I got some fruit. And so Jesus went over there, and the tree didn't have any fruit. And Jesus said, I got something for you. You're over here pretending that you got fruit on you. And now you know what I'm going to do to you? You want to pretend you have fruit, but you're really not fruitful? You're never going to have any fruit on you. Here's the real thing. Whether sister, you want to believe that the tree said that or not, that's you know. But how many of you know things in it? Oh, okay, you think a fig tree can't talk, but how come you listen to your bank account? Your bank account talk. Go when you go in there, where you go, no money. Doesn't it say that to you? Come on, you go to your bank account and you say, oh, I want to buy that. You go look it up and they go, you don't have enough, doesn't it?
Not yet.
Yes. Or let's make it positive. It tells you, you can buy that.
Mm.
Right?
Wow.
I mean, why are you looking at your wallet? You say, well, I'm looking to cover my money. But yeah, but in a way, when you look into your wallet and you have enough to make the purchase, your wallet tells you, go ahead, it's good.
Yes.
Things talk. Things talk. The tree talked to Jesus, telling him, there's some fruit over here, and Jesus answered that tree.
Wow.
But whether you want to go that far, that's fine. I mean, that's how I do it. That's how the Lord speaks to me, amen. If you answer something, that means they said something to you first. I'm sorry, that's just common sense. You don't answer something and don't say anything. Praise God. So he answered the fig tree, right? But here's the other thing that's even more important. The fig tree really was symbolic for the nation of Israel. Many times you see in the scripture it talks about the fig tree and the fig tree blossoming and all that. And that's God's way in the scriptures of talking about the nation of Israel. And I think what Jesus is really going at here, because Jesus is always getting deeper, it's not just what's on the surface, right? It's about that the nation of Israel, right, spiritually speaking, despite the fact that they're going, oh, Hosanna in the highest and all that, bottom line was they were spiritually dead, right? They weren't producing fruit. Right, and so I think, you know, there's a deeper meaning of this as well, that Jesus in cursing this tree and speaking to this tree is also speaking to what the tree symbolizes, which is the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
Right, and you know, a week from now, well, less than a week from now, some of those same people who were saying Hosanna, save now, and all this other thing were going to be saying crucify him, crucify him.
Yeah.
Right? So they really weren't sincere in all of their spirituality. And so Jesus really is criticizing the nation too as he's rebuking this tree, because the tree symbolizes Israel.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, you're pretending and you're acting, and on the surface it seems like you're all down and you understand the fulfillment of scripture and everything like that. But in a few days you're going to be talking about crucify him, crucify him. And then there's another thing that applies to us. How many of us from a distance look as if we're fruitful? You know what I mean? Your neighbor, when he looks out his window on Sunday morning, he sees you going to church, he sees you dressed up, he sees you carrying your Bible. From a distance, you look spiritual. You look maybe even fruitful. People in your circle of influence may from a distance see that you're fruitful. But what happens when folk get up close?
Yes. Jesus.
You know what I mean? What happens when people get up close? Do you really have fruit on you, or were you just giving the appearance of fruit? And if we're giving off the appearance of fruit, we got to understand something. Jesus ain't having it. we're not going to be walking around in his name pretending to be fruitful.
Jesus.
So we have to be real. We need to really produce fruit in our lives. What fruit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Right? The fruit of the Spirit. We need to produce this fruit. It needs to be evident in our lives. Otherwise, Jesus is not happy.
Amen.
Sister Vanilla and I were talking about a certain singer who has a song out. What is that? Too Hard Not To?
Too Hard Not To.
And I'm going to say who the artist is, because it'd be unfair to Tina. What's his name? Tina Campbell. I'm not going to say who it was, because it'd be unfair. It'd be unfair to Tina Campbell. But she's singing this song, talking about it's too hard. Some people say it's too hard for to forgive, but I say it's too hard not to. But I watch Mary. And I see her still seeing to me that she hasn't forgiven her husband for something he did to her.
Yeah.
But yet she's singing this song.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, see, if I didn't see you more close to that reality show, I might believe you, because that seemed very, very fruitful and spiritual thing to say and to sing. But here's the problem. I see you acting up on your reality show, and what you do on that reality show don't line up with what you're singing. So guess what? I ain't receiving that.
Wow.
Sometimes it might be good if you don't have fruit on you, don't let people get too close, because they're going to find out and see for themselves.
Amen.
Stop faking, people. Amen. Wow. I hear heaven saying, stop faking. Stop faking. Stop acting like you have fruit. Jesus is a fruit inspector. He gonna inspect your tree. Didn't he say, you will know a tree how?
By its fruit.
By its fruit. Jesus looked for fruit, man. He looking for fruit. We gonna know a tree by its fruit. What you have on you? You just have some leaves? You just got some leaves. You just pretty. You just pretty. You a pretty Christian. You a pretty Christian, but you can't feed anybody. You a pretty Christian, but you can't nourish anybody. Why? Because there's no fruit on you, man. And then he say, I am the true vine, and you are the branches.
Yes.
And he who abides in me will produce much fruit, for therefore is my Father glorified.
Yes.
But he said the branch that doesn't produce fruit is going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. Jesus looking for some fruit.
Amen. Yes, he is. Wow.
Jesus likes fruit, sister. He likes fruit.
Amen.
All right, we're getting ready to go.
Okay.
I almost want to get to this cleansing of the temple, though. Whew! Jesus, boy, he went in there. We're going to pick up next time. When he went to the temple, I love this one. But Jesus showed he don't play.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He went to the temple and folk in there.
Doing stuff they didn't have no business.
Oh my gosh. Ooh. 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 Turned tables over. Made a whip.
Amen.
This is why when people think God is like this meek and mild. Read the book of, what is it? It's in the book of Exodus where it says that God is a man of war.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Jesus overturns tables, Jack. He cursed trees.
Amen.
Not profanity curse. I mean, he pronounces judgment on them.
Yes.
And then when folk are not acting right in his house, he overturns tables and he makes the animals are running and coins are rolling across the floor. Doves are coming up in the air flying. People are falling back on their chairs.
Amen.
We're going to talk about that next week.
Right.
The cleansing of the temple. But now, as we, so we're going to pick up there next week, but also too, we're going to get to the part two of the fig tree, because as you said, Sister Ray, he said the disciples heard it. Mm-hmm.
They were listening, yeah.
Yeah. And Jesus said it on purpose so that they could hear it.
Yes.
Right, because faith cometh by
hearing,
and hearing by the word of God. And so he said it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see what else he says, and then because there's some teaching that he has after that. Because Peter's amazing. Look at the fig tree.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll pick up with both of those, and hopefully we'll get through chapter 11. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. But listen, don't act like you got fruit. Don't pretend you're something you're not. Don't walk around acting like you got it all down and all that kind of thing. Right? You know. Just be honest, be humble, be truthful, and you know, don't try to be somebody else. Just be you, and just make sure God gets the glory out of your life. But understand, He's going to get glory out of your life the more fruitful you and I are.
Amen.
The more glory He gets. Amen.
Amen.
Praise be unto God. So let's pray tonight, and then we'll go home and
do something.
Yeah. Turn off the TV, turn off the smartphone, turn off the grill. And then baseball playoff time, too. It's playoffs, brother. It's playoffs. So there's a game on tonight. I got to watch a little. Amen.
Amen.
Praise be unto God. God gives us all things to enjoy. Let's pray. Father, we bless you and we thank you. We thank you for what you've spoken unto us tonight. We thank you, oh God, that you showed us Jesus is 100% man and 100% God. He speaks unto us the things before they even happen. We're praying, Father, that we will release our faith and rest in the spoken words and the revealed words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may just walk in the power and in the fulfilled promises of God. And Father, we're praying for a spirit of recognition, oh God, that as you come into our lives, that we will recognize the move of God in our midst, that we might not miss you, oh God. Father, we ask you to forgive us of all the times, God, that we have preordained in our own mind how you would come and how you would move and how you would answer our prayers. Father, forgive us for that, oh God, and help us now to walk in humility and meekness of spirit, oh God, that we may recognize when God enters in. And Father, we thank you right now, oh God, that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us, and the Holy Spirit at work in us produces the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Father God, let us be fruitful, oh God, that we may truly show unto you and unto the world that we are disciples of Christ who are taught of the Lord and who are obedient unto your will. And Father, we thank you for the work that you're doing in our lives. Father God, we ask you now to guide us home safely. Let this word continue to just marinate in our spirit, O Father. Let us meditate upon it, O God, and let us get even more out of it as the Spirit leads us into all truth. And as we travel home, God, we pray that you will just guide us home safely and allow us to arrive at our homes without any harm, evil, or danger coming our way. We bless you by faith right now in advance for doing it. And we thank you, O God, for all that you're doing and all that you are. We love you tonight.
Yes.
And we give you the praise. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.